Together with American Songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Chuck and Mira from The Sea, The Sea.
Adam was able to talk to the wedded Chuck and Mira of The Sea, The Sea over Zoom video. Chuck and Mira told us about how they first met at a music festival where Chuck was performing. They talk about how they were invited to use Spotify in the early days of Spotify and having one of their songs go viral. The Sea, The Sea just released a new record on their fourth wedding anniversary called Stumbling Home.
You can watch our interview with Chuck and Mira from The Sea on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. And make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Chuck and Mira from The Sea, The Sea.
Hey.
Hello, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks so much for having us.
Sweet. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah.
Our podcast is about your guys' journey in music and how you got to where you are today. And then, and you guys are married, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I usually do this with my wife, who you might have been talking to over the computer, Tara. But due to COVID and everything, we have two kids. So we have to kind of trade off. But
divide and conquer.
Yeah. That's cool that you guys are married. That's awesome. Well, first, I guess, are you guys both from the New York area? I did see you started in upstate New Yorker.
Yeah. Well, no, like I'm from West Virginia originally. And Chuck and I actually met at a music festival that was sort of halfway exactly between the Northeast and where I was living at the time in Shepherdstown, West Virginia is where we met.
I grew up on the outskirts of the city in Staten Island.
Okay. How did you get into music?
My dad was he's still with us, but he used to play jazz saxophone. And so I grew up with a lot of music around the house and my grandfather was a violin player. And, that was sort of how it started. And also my older sister's boyfriend when they were in high school was a guitar player. And that's how I got into playing acoustic guitar and singing songs and realizing it could help get me a date.
What about you, Mara? How did you get into music?
Well, my dad was also, is also a musician. And so I grew up just with a lot of artists around me, whether musicians, my mom is a visual artist. I grew up dancing a lot and was actually doing theater before I started doing sort of songwriting as a profession. I just grew up with a lot of art around me.
That's cool. What was the first instrument you learned how to play?
Piano. My mom plays piano, and so I always grew up with a piano in the house. And I remember I took lessons and then quickly got frustrated that I hadn't learned all of the chords to play my favorite songs. So I sort of ditched lessons and just started playing songs that I wanted to play on the piano.
Do you remember what some of those songs were?
Well, I was really into like Fiona Apple and Tori Amos and just like, you know, all of these like amazing women singer-songwriters who were piano-based too.
Very cool. Chuck, you said you learned guitar a little bit later. What was the first instrument you learned how to play?
Yeah, I played a lot of strange instruments. I grew up like in the band. You know, I wanted to be a musician, but I never had the cool instrument. I played the baritone, which is like a tuba, but smaller.
One that comes around, right? Like the... What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of, I can't remember.
I don't know what the baritone looks like. Yeah.
No, the baritone looks like a tuba. It's just a little bit smaller. But,
okay. I'm thinking of like a huge instrument, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, trust me, I was in fourth grade. It was
still big to carry around. Bigger than a clarinet or something.
Yeah. And I was not a big kid. It made no sense. I don't understand like what the music teacher was thinking. Cause on the list, I always picked the cool instrument, like drums or I thought trumpet was cool too, but.
And that's not a shot at anybody who's playing baritone.
I'm speaking, that's from my fourth grade psyche. But yeah, I did play the saxophone for a little while. I was very similar to Mira. I took piano lessons and I loved playing the piano, but I hated the lessons. So I didn't stick with those very long. And then I, Yeah, I started playing guitar like in middle school, and I took lessons for a few weeks and loved the guitar. Well, I loved the guitar before the lessons, and then when like the 6 weeks I took lessons, I hated the guitar because I just hated being told what to play, and so I went off and just stopped taking lessons and kept learning how to play songs, you know, and I started writing around that time too. So.
Wow. And were you in a band or anything in high school?
I was a funny case. I was very shy. So I ended up, it's funny. I mean, it's such a cliche, but it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The first few years I played, I only played for my friends who were girls. It was like this cool thing I did where we would like hang out. I'd play them the song I just learned or just wrote. And
you're the sensitive guy friend.
Yeah. I didn't play in bands until I was much, much older. I was into the sort of navel gazing singer songwriter thing pretty early.
I had a girl group.
You did. Let's hear about that.
But we never played a show. We only took pictures and wrote songs.
We should send you a photo. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, because one of the girls who was I was singing with also worked for a photographer, so we had like a free photo shoot. So we really went for it in that department, and then
super pro, and then pro photos,
and then like argued about rehearsals, and then never played it.
Isn't that funny how it's like the first bands are always like everybody's so focused on the name, the logo, and the merch, and like
all about the image.
The music part.
That'll come.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
How funny. So before you guys met, were you both playing in separate bands, or how did that all kind of come together?
So I was playing solo, again, as just like a singer-songwriter. I was doing like the folk circuit, like right out of college. I started doing open mics and trying to do it for a living. I didn't really make a living, but I was touring. I mean, I had just, when we met.
You were building a foundation.
Yeah, I was, for about 5 years, I was sort of.
Getting your 10,000 hours.
Yeah, and doing lots of day jobs, random day jobs and stuff, but playing a lot as a solo songwriter with just an acoustic guitar. And then I got into a contest in West Virginia for like emerging artists or whatever. And I went down to West Virginia for the first time, and there was, you have to get up and perform and be judged in this contest. And the stage manager was Mira.
Me.
Wow.
Yeah, she had my name on a dry erase board. Like, that was how we met.
we say it was a sign.
There you go.
Yeah, and so at the time, Mira was actually not really playing music.
Yeah,
well.
I always, you know, I like always wrote songs, and I always would find myself like in a practice room when I was in school. But I was going to school to try to figure out how to sort of merge all of the art forms that I loved, dance, theater, and music. But I just kept finding myself coming back to music in a really particular way. So that was at the point when I was finishing school and still sort of wondering if I was going to be a director or who knew. And that was one of the things that sort of meeting Chuck and I think seeing, you know, other young people who are artists and out in the world and just trying to be brave in that way, sort of chart an uncharted path, was really exciting to me. And that was one of the things that sparked my interest for wanting to be a songwriter and a musician and make a go of that as a life.
So I take all the blame for your day job.
I was going to say, what song did you play that took her away like that?
I mean, I have a funny relationship with my older songs. I sometimes can't believe they're still on the internet for people to hear. I mean, they're not all bad, but...
Well, they're always like a younger version of like your thought process. So sometimes it makes you like...
They feel like, to me now, they feel like half-written songs, you know, that could have been
sure.
workshopped a bit or whatever.
I remember the song that you played had there was like a really specific image about... something that happened to you when you were a little kid.
You should tell this again. Yeah. It's kind of funny. I had a line in the song about I swallowed a Lego, a red Lego when I was a kid. Try to imagine me working that into a song. I think it worked. I don't know. But there's a line in the song about that. And then
being afraid, he was like afraid that...
I thought I was going to die.
And I also... like almost like choked on something when I was little, and I think that was my first conversation with him was talking about
choking on a Lego.
Mine was a crystal. I had a hippie mom, so I had a crystal that I almost choked on.
Oh, yikes. So you guys meet at this festival, and then how do you start writing music together? Did the relationship start first, and then you decided to start writing together?
Yeah, it's you know, it took a few years for us to end up doing what we're doing now, but and people have asked us that question about the relationship or the music, and it's really funny because it really, I mean, you know, we were kind of interested in each other, I guess, from the start, just before we even played music, but it really feels like those things really started together, because even that first time when we met, Mira invited me to sing a song with her at the Sunday morning gospel thing at the festival. So mm-hmm. we were going to sing Amazing Grace, and so we sang together, and we got the kind of that
I was
feeling.
Like, hey, sing with me.
Yeah.
And this is during that same show where you guys first met?
The same festival. Yeah. And I was terrified at the time to play or to sing harmony. It's funny in hindsight, but harmony was not my thing. And so we did that, and I, you know, instantly we could feel the way our voices sounded together was really unusual and really kind of special.
And we instantly sort of dove into figuring out an arrangement for something that was in our minds going to be unique. So that was sort of we sort of found this immediate impulse to sort of make things together.
It was our version of Amazing Grace was the sea song, you know, before we thought that was, before that, you know, was a thing. And then it took a few years because of our things going on in our lives and
finishing school.
Yeah. And just lots of different things. And a couple of years later, basically Mira was working a job in Michigan, and I was sort of about to quit music, and Mira kind of got in touch and was like, I'm ready to do this. How are you? And I'm like, I'm ready to stop doing this.
And I was like, well, that doesn't sound right to me. Something's wrong here. So let's talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, doing it together seemed like for me, a thing worth pursuing. So we hit the ground running then, and that was 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
And we just jumped right into getting into a car together and driving, you know, endlessly finding shows.
Yeah.
So how did it start off? Were you guys using some of the songs that you already wrote, Chuck, and then?
Yeah, Mira was singing basically backup from, you know, singing backing harmonies. That's how it started.
Yeah, and we did that for a little while before we even sort of came up with a band name. And I think the first time we came up with our band name was we wanted to enter the Kerrville New Folk Contest. And so we sort of came up with a name for our project and recorded like a couple of songs that we had been working on. But yeah, I was mostly just singing harmonies with Chuck when we started.
Yeah.
Wow. And from there, just you hit the ground running. You said you're doing a little touring. And when did you start putting out your first, like, what was the first stuff you put out on, like, online or an EP? Or?
Well, we did a little 5-song EP that we made, just sort of like a handmade thing that we could take to shows that we were playing at that time. And we were still probably playing like 70 shows a year or something in those first couple of years, just because Chuck had been touring.
Yeah.
And then we had a collection of songs. And then reached out to like our top choice as a producer and ended up having like a really to Todd Sikafoos, who we worked with on our first album and then have now worked with on this album that we just released. Mm-hmm. But we just so that was probably in 2013 we recorded that record with him, and then we released it in 2014. Yeah, so we the first time we did we made a record, you know, I think we sort of wanted to try to do it the quote, like, right way. Like, we wanted to make sure that if the first time we put out songs into the world that we were going to give them their due and give them a good send-off. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys had a huge song off that first record,
yeah,
right?
That came out of nowhere for, I mean, we were like, I remember that time too, Spotify was a little bit more of like the Wild West. It just kind of had, people weren't talking about playlists the way they do now. And
we heard about it from Chuck is half Norwegian, and so we heard about it from our Norwegian friends first.
Yeah, I was on the I was on the bandwagon, like real. I got like an invite to be on Spotify from my buddy in Norway. Like at that time, you had to be invited to be on Spotify.
Wow.
Yeah, it was wild, and so we were kind of a little ahead of the curve on that, but still not like totally conscious of
how ahead of the curve on like loving it
as a user. We were like down, and a lot of our friends at the time are like our peers, musicians, were kind of down on Spotify because it was taking so much out of their CD sales, and for whatever reason, I mean, we still don't know exactly, but it just started, that song you're talking about started to hit Love We Are We Love, and we just remember watching like the numbers just started, because it was getting put on these playlists, and we were like, holy cow, this is like wild, and it just got exponentially like went up, and it was like a great few years of really expanding our audience. It's awesome.
Yeah. Sure. That's been my favorite part about that song, is just, you know, it. I think when you get put on those playlists, so that you, that there is so much of a reach beyond like just the audience that you're just starting to build, you reach people all over the world, and then the song starts coming back to you in little ways, like whether it's from messages from people of where they heard the song, or it's someone covering the song who doesn't even like speak English as a first language, or you know, and it's and that in and of itself sort of starts to show you even like, you know, the immense power that songs can have, and the long reach that they can have. Yeah. And that's pretty awesome.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the plays on it now. It's like 11 million or something crazy right now. Like when that was happening, were record labels reaching out to you? Like what did it help your career at all?
That's what's so funny. Like at that time, you know, I think it was even like record labels were a little behind the curve. This is again in 2014-ish.
Yeah.
And because we had friends who sort of caught the wave on Spotify like 2 years after us, and they were just getting calls from labels in a way that we really, really didn't get. But I mean, it's, you know, for all of the crap Spotify gets, we were getting paid, you know, a really decent amount for that during that time, because we were just getting so many plays in such a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. That it really helped fund it funded a record, it funded a lot of touring with some additional musicians. It was basically like having a record label with like tour support, and that kind of thing happened, you know, lasted for a few years, and it definitely has helped us, you know, build sort of the foundation that we have now. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you see like when you were touring and stuff, would you see your crowds get bigger and people like acknowledging that song?
Well, and I would say, you know, I'm not sure that it's not like our crowd size has doubled or anything, but there were always people at shows who would say, I heard of you on Spotify, you know, and it was interesting too, because we were thinking a lot about just like the streaming market at that time, and like, and just realizing that, you know, for whatever you're not getting paid in the streaming sort of sense, and this is not me advocating for, you know, streaming services not paying artists more, but seeing people coming to shows who maybe wouldn't have come otherwise, who wouldn't have spent the money to download an album to see if they were interested in your music, and like, and people showing up and signing the mailing list and getting merch and becoming fans. And
we've covered so much ground touring, you know, we play a lot of, you know, relatively small venues, and our audience is very, you know, dispersed over a large area of the country, or the whole country, and so we would, you know, if we congregated all the people that came to the shows, I mean, from Spotify and from that song being, you know, what it was huge. It was really huge. So yeah.
Nice. And from that record, the next thing you guys put out was an EP. Was
yep.
Yes.
In
the All Together.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the EP.
Yeah. Gosh,
it was a transitional project. We at that time, after we finished the first record cycle, we were kind of feeling pulled towards building the sound. We had, you know, which is, I know, such a common, you know, progression that bands go through, and kind of, we weren't feeling like a folk duo, a harmony folk acoustic duo was our home. It didn't feel like that was like what we were. So we were trying to discover what it was.
Or it was like part of what we, part of what we were, but we felt like there was a lot more creatively that we both were feeling like compelled to explore. And so that, I think, in the All Together was sort of when we started to explore that. And part of that for us was just playing with other people and because neither of us had ever really played in a band in that way, I think there's a whole other sort of part of training your ear to hear what a band should sound like altogether, to hear all the different elements and to understand what of those elements help with your song to convey what it is that you're trying to convey, and when sometimes those things can get in the way or step in the way, and when you need something that's more stripped down or for whatever, at least with our music.
Which was tricky for us because so much of the core of what we do is just like the song and our two voices. Mm-hmm. So it was like, how do we not totally mess this up by adding things that don't need to be there, but how do we build it at the same time? So
that's good. Go ahead.
I was gonna ask you, did you play shows after that EP with the whole band?
That particular EP we toured as a four piece.
We had a full drum kit and a bass. Upright bass and electric bass.
And then we also toured that as a trio, and then we moved into the next record, which we also toured as a four piece for a while too. Yeah.
With From the Light?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was like the milestone from that record, would you say?
Gosh, like song wise or just like experience wise?
Both. Experience wise.
Experience wise, for us, everything around that record sort of felt like there was something new to it. Like we really had, we had one of the longest like cross country tours that we had ever taken. We played in a bunch of new places that we had never played. We got to do things like, play like Audio Tree and just some of the different sessions and things that we had always wanted to play.
I think it was like a really huge growth moment for us, because again, the progression from the EP, when we did From the Light, we kind of went all in band. We just were like, we're ready to like not be an acoustic act per se. I think it's sort of what we weren't sure
at that time. It's funny because sort of goal is to always follow like wherever we're feeling creatively pulled at that time, because we always believe that is going to lead us to wherever we're supposed to be on like on our creative journey, and that it's important to say yes to those impulses, to learn from them and to understand what you're trying to discover in those
places.
That's,
and that album and all the tour, the whole cycle, the touring for that record really gave us that, because we finished that, it was like a year and a half or whatever, really understanding what it was about the band stuff that was working really, really well, because a lot of it really was working and was really cool. But there were also parts of it that were getting in the way, for lack of a better phrase, like that were just sort of not necessarily fully helping the song speak, communicate.
Or letting those stripped down sort of like essential moments come through in the way that we had felt them come through in sort of some of the more stripped down shows that we'd done.
And those lessons like really led us to what our new record is, I think.
In the new record, you like you said earlier, you have it produced by it's kind of like a full circle with the first person produced this record. Yeah, so let's hear this about the new album.
Well, it was so cool to send Todd the demos that we had for this record, because when we sent him the demos for our first record, they were like iPhone voice memos. And this time we had really worked through the arrangements as far as we could take them in our own recording process. And so that felt, that was really cool to be able to bring him a collection of songs and really say, this is what we're hearing. Which of these are like Which to you feel like a complete thought? We have our own ideas. Which songs are you really like resonating with? And it was really cool to see sort of the collection that he sent back.
Well, and also it was the first record where we had invested a lot of time and some money and gear to create demos that hopefully, you know, in our minds, we were thinking the best case scenario is keep the core of what these things are, be able to use them. And that's what we ended up, you know, all the vocals we recorded here in our own studio, you know, a lot of the core stuff on the record, that on the final record are things that we recorded here kind of in the comfort and with sort of the freedom
time
and time that we don't always have in a studio when, you know, you're kind of buying mm-hmm. time in a studio and, yeah. and all that stuff. So we feel like you can really hear and feel the difference in sort of the way we're performing the song. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's cool. So you recorded, you said the vocals right there in that room you're sitting in.
Yeah, yeah. In the closet. There's a door back there.
Sorry, that's so awesome. Was that something that you had, was that because of you just wanted to do it that way, or was that due to COVID, or was...
Well, we started this recording process over a year ago. So it was we had, when COVID started is when we sort of went into making final versions of the tracks with Todd. And originally we had even talked about doing some in-person studio time. And at that, and then in that moment, it was like, okay, well, you know, this, it's interesting. This whole record was recorded in this sort of like home studio space. And now we're just going to extend that home studio space to another coast and just let that be sort of a conversation that's happening in that way.
Yeah, all the additional tracks that were added were in other people's home studios.
Either in Todd's or in Matthias's.
During
COVID,
yeah.
That's funny. That's crazy. Were you guys thinking about, like, how did that affect the release of your record or, you know, putting it together at all?
I think, you know, if anything, I think it almost made it... us release it a little bit sooner because we realized that like the touring part of it was probably gonna not be part of releasing a record, at least in the first part of the release. But it still felt really important to us to release music now. Mm-hmm. And so I think if anything, it just sort of let us direct all of that creative energy and time that we would have been focusing on sort of the touring aspect, and it's now just been to focus on making things and sort of figuring out new ways to connect with our fans and with people and get the word out about the songs while we're sort of coming to everybody from a singular place for the first time in however many years.
So. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Like, are you guys doing the live streams or anything like that to kind of promote the record?
Yeah, I'm now a production expert.
Chuck has been watching all of the tutorials.
Yeah, we're like a little TV station here. I'm sure you can relate.
Yeah.
We've gotten into it and we've really enjoyed it. And, you know, it's interesting because, like I was saying earlier, we do have this fan base that feels like they're spread out all over the place. And our live streams are such a cool way to like bring all these people together, and people have really shown up, and we've had a great run of shows.
Did one every week the month of August, and that was particularly cool because you start to see people who maybe go to the same concert series in town, but that concert series has been canceled for the last few months, but they're saying hi to each other, or you know, people who discovered us at a festival and they didn't get to go to the festival together this year, but they're saying hi to each other, and so that there's still like this sense of community, which is, you know, that's one of the things that we love so much about performing live is mm-hmm. is creating that community around the shows. And so that's filled us up as much as I think we can be full in that way during this time.
Still feels weird, but it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that like when you finish the song or you're doing it, then it's just standing everyone you know, you can't hear any collapse or anything.
Exactly.
And then you have like a 15 second delay before anyone even sort of acknowledges that, that you finished the song. So
they're sitting there waiting, and then in 15 seconds you'll hear, you might see people clapping or hitting the clap button. That's hilarious.
And this weekend we're gonna we're filming all of the songs recorded on the rooftop of a building in town. So that's gonna be another fun part of our release plan.
Wow. Okay. So you're gonna do the whole album.
Yeah.
Wow. Where's this? You said on top of a roof. Where? This, like New York area?
This building.
Oh wow.
Because Troy is an incredibly beautiful town. It's just, it's really old and there's all this Victorian architecture.
It looks like an old cool neighborhood in Brooklyn, basically. Yeah. Like
that's
some of my favorite neighborhoods in Brooklyn. That's like what Troy looks like. You've got all these
Yeah, the rooftop view is just phenomenal from here. So we just thought, we kept upping our game on the live stream, making them look better and sound better. Mm-hmm. And we're like, how are we going to up it this time?
Let's do it on the roof.
Nice. And that's going to be, you're going to film it and then air it later?
Is that
what
the plan is? We didn't want to, throw caution to the literal wind. And
we didn't know what the weather situation was going to be.
Right.
So we figured we'd pre-record it and then.
It'll sound better that way.
So. That's awesome. Well, that's super exciting. I can't wait to see that. That's really cool. And I did just see on your Instagram that you guys released the record on your wedding anniversary. That's awesome.
The day after.
Oh, it's the day after.
It
felt like it. It was like a good, I don't know, it felt like a really cool sort of moment to release a creation into the world. There were a few different weeks that we were sort of thrown around, and then that one fell. Yeah, really,
we don't have any kids yet, so
the album work. That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank
it's
you for
so
having
nice
us.
To talk with you. Thanks for having us.
Of course. I do have one more question. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
I would say be true to who you are and know that it probably will take longer than you think. Whatever you think, however long you think something's going to take, it'll probably take longer, but that's okay if you're doing the work and you're evolving and you are staying true to your art form and just letting that grow you in the way that it can, then you're always going to be exactly where you should be.
That's pretty much what I was going to say. It probably won't look the way that you envision it, which doesn't mean you can visualize a future in music, I think, but it probably won't look exactly like that, and that doesn't mean it's not working. Which
and
I
it
think
doesn't
is a
mean
common.
That it won't be even more beautiful than you could have ever imagined, and it won't blow your mind.
It takes a lot of being honest with yourself, a lot of the time, if not all the time.
But it's good to do something to build a life around something that holds yourself accountable in that way.